Let's take our Bibles and turn to Hebrews 2. Hebrews chapter 2. In our last study, we considered what the Scriptures has to say on this subject, that He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. Now, there were some angels that fell in rebellion before God. They rebelled against God just like man rebelled against God. Lifted themselves up. The Lord cast them out of heaven. They're held now in chains of darkness, not literal chains, but chains of darkness, which they'll never escape. The Lord Jesus Christ did not lay hold to redeem the nature of angels. Wasn't made like an angel. The nature of an angel. They're different. They were created just like we're created, but they're different. They don't die. This body is going to die. They have abilities that we're limited. We don't have the abilities. We don't ascend, descend those unfallen angels, the chosen angels. They're able to back and forth to heaven. All the accounts, we can't do that. The Lord did not take on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. As I said last week, not the seed of Adam. Free will Arminianism believes that the Lord Jesus Christ took on Him the seed of Adam. That's what they believe. Now, this is what the seed of Adam would be. It would mean that Christ came into this world to make salvation possible for all men. That's what that would mean. He took on Him the seed of Adam. If that was the case, it's not. That means that He would have come into this world and He would have gone to the cross to make salvation possible, because you know that there are going to be some that are not going to be in heaven. Scripture bears out that the Lord says that in that day, in the day of judgment, there's going to be the goats on His left hand, the sheep on His right, and there'll be some that they're going to try to justify themselves before God, and we prophesied in Your name and cast out demons in Your name. And He said, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you." So that would be the seed of Adam. But He said He took on Him the seed of Abraham. The Scripture says, "And if," Galatians 3:29, "ye be Christ's." If you're God's. If you're the Lord's in election, if you're the Lord's in everlasting love, if you're the Lord's, if God has set His affection upon you, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. He took on Him the seed of Abraham. He walked miraculously. This is what happened. A body God prepared for Him. And He possessed, the Spirit was given, the Son of Man, The Spirit of God was given that holy man without measure. And just like every regenerated sinner, obviously, seeds of Abraham. If you're Christ, you're seeds of Abraham. Just like every seed of Abraham, according to promise, according to election, he walked before God as a man that walked by faith. He believed God. He walked, he prayed. He didn't walk as an unregenerated sinner. I mean, as an unregenerated man. Unregenerated sinner. I had it right. He didn't walk as one unregenerated. He walked as you have to walk. An heir of God. We're joint heirs with Him. Then that makes Him an heir. The Son. He walked as the seed of Abraham, chosen of God. He was chosen. That's elect. He was God's elect. We were elected in the elect. Loved of God, daily His delight. This is our great high priest. And right now, our great high priest, right now, He who ever liveth to make intercession for us, right now, He's interceding for us. Those departed saints that are those souls that are with Him that have yet to be united with their bodies are still in the ground, but there's the departed saints absent from this body and present with the Lord. And they're with Him right now. And here is their high priest, our high priest, those that lived and struggled just like we're living and struggling right now. Those that left this world and encompassed with warrings within and warrings without. And their high priest, our high priest, interceding for every one of us. Let's just talk about right now. He who right now. Isn't that a pleasant thought? To realize that there's truly. This is not, you know, as Paul says, this is not a cleverly designed fable. It's real. Let's consider Him. Two verses. Verse 17, 18, Hebrews 2. Wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself has suffered, being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. Now we know from this scripture that he had to take on flesh and blood to be an effectual high priest for His people. He had to. It behooved Him. That's what He said. Where in all things it behooved Him. It was absolutely necessary. For there to be, for us to have a high priest, this is what our high priest must be. He must be a man taken from among those that he represents, and he has to be able to deal with God being God. In all things, He was made like unto His brethren. But I'll tell you this.
In all things, the Scriptures qualifies that. In all things, he was made like unto his brethren, as the Scriptures set forth. What do I mean by that? I mean that it sets forth he was yet without sin. He was not depraved. The blood of Adam did not flow in his veins. The Spirit of God related in his conception, in Mary's conception, for that which is conceived is in thee is of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. So he was made like unto his brethren, except in those areas where the Scriptures excludes him not being as they are. He was in reality and truth man. Totally man, human being. He didn't merely appear to be a man. The Scripture says in Isaiah 53:2, he hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire of him. He was totally man, but there was no outstandingness. He didn't have a halo around him. When he took his three disciples up on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Scripture sets forth and qualifies that his face did shine brighter noonday sun, his raiment, you know. He revealed himself unto them right there. But the Scripture sets forth that as far as his appearance, there was nothing about him that you would be able to look at and say that, you know, there was anything about him that made him stand out. Appearance-wise, no comeliness, no beauty. That's what it is. The Son of God, deity, all power, omniscient, no change, totally God and totally man. As we were talking a moment ago in the study before. Was talking about how much Scripture sets forth when you read it, the absolute humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ praying in the garden, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You know why he prayed that? Because that's how you and I have to pray. I'll be honest with you. There's been some things happened to me in my life, and if I could have willed them away, I'd have willed them away. I'd have thought, I just don't think I want to go through. Time proved that it was the best thing for me, but in my weakness, in my frailty, I didn't want to go through that. Lord had shown me this was for my good. This was for His glory. But here he was praying as a man. He was weak. He humbled himself. There is a man. And then there's the absolute deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, Christ, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, He said to the waves, be still. It was God, man. The Scripture says it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. The Word was God and the Word was made flesh. Who do men say that I am, Peter? Jeremiah, Elijah, a different one. Who do you say I am? You're the Christ. You're God come in the flesh. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. But my Father. it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. As men, fallen, for us to have any hope, we must have a priest before God. Almighty God is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. How would you like to stand before God on the consistency of the prayer that you uttered today? Did you catch yourself even deviating at all? Man, I did too. You see what I'm saying? Man, it is in his best state. Take and read the scriptures. I was thinking, Brother Scott was just reading, just how would you like to have your heart revealed on how faithful you were to hear what was read? That was the Word of God. That was God's Word. I need a priest. You need a priest. That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. That is, in the things concerning God's will. I must have a high priest. You must have a high priest that is familiar with what Almighty God demands of men, what God's will is for men. How am I going to know what God has to say to me? I need a prophet, I need a priest, I need a king. I need someone to tell me what God has to say. Can you imagine depending on a man just a man? Can you imagine what does a man have to say concerning God? I need for God to speak to me. I need a priest. I need one to approach God for me. That's what a priest does, Neil. The prophet is from God to me. I need a priest to go to God for me. I need a priest that will answer on his own merit, one that is accepted of God, one that God will allow to approach him concerning me and accept me on the merit of the priest that God accepts. And all that he accepts in the priest, he accepts me, just like that. And in all of my frailties, in all of my inabilities, that I can be pardoned for the priest's sake. We need a priest that pleases God and walks as men. One who dwells in the light, which no man can approach. Almighty God. We need a priest that's taken out of our environment. That's why it says it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Listen to what Hebrews 5:1. Let me just read this to you. For every high priest. Now this is God's word, God's law. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. We've got to have one just like we are, one that suffers as we suffer, one that understands, one that's been there. I told you last week, do you know what comforts me? It's when I talk to somebody that's been there. I go through something and I call somebody up and they said, "Oh, I've been there. I've been there. I know how you feel." It's not that bad. Thanks. I needed that. Somebody that's been there. Let me tell you this. He'd been there. He was in all points. Tried, tested, tempted, like as we are. Oh, that He might be merciful and faithful high priest. I need a high priest that's merciful to me. One that loves me. One that cares for me. One that knows me. One that comforts, keeps, sustains. I need a merciful high priest. And then I need one that's faithful. He's merciful, manward, and faithful, Godward. This is my beloved Son. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. And I'm well pleased with Him. That's our high priest. His compassions toward God's will and purpose, counsel, regulated by holiness, according to the requirements of God's truth. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. Lord, what comfort there is for a believer knowing that there is an intercessor, a mediator, a great high priest, one that is able, touch God and touch man, because He's both. Merciful, faithful. And here He is sitting upon the throne of glory as the great high priest, and sitting, as I said a week or so ago, sitting upon His throne is the God-man in whose very breast beats a human heart, and one who sits as the great high priest. Not as Aaron, who never sat, but He sits. By one sacrifice He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. High priest to make reconciliation. Actually, the word reconciliation there is interpreted, He's the propitiation. He's the satisfaction. God's satisfied. You that believe, let me say this, in Christ, God's satisfied with you. He's satisfied. When I see the blood, I'm going to pass over you. Oh, what a wonderful word. What a comfort. When I see the blood, and to think that He's seen that blood, the Lamb slain, from the foundation of the world. He who first trusted in Christ, seeing Him, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, chose you in Him, justified you in Him, satisfied, loved you in Him. Why? He was satisfied. He who had entered into that everlasting covenant, God Almighty, the Son Himself, who entered in to the very environment of those that He came to redeem. God Almighty, our near kinsman. For in that he himself hath suffered, verse 18, being tempted, he's able to succor them that are tempted. Our Lord, set forth by this scripture, he actually suffered, the scripture says, being tempted. By experience, all the temptations that you and I endure, go through, and sad to say, fall prey to. He was tempted. He experienced the trial, but never did he succumb. The scripture says, yet without sin. And you know how we know that that's so? God said it was. Someone would say, well, how do you know? How do you know that he didn't succumb? How do you know God said he didn't? I don't need to argue that point. I'm not here to debate that. He's a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. Tempted. He himself has suffered being tempted. Tempted of Satan there in the desert, bodily hungry, and suffered being temptation of the temptation of the Pharisees, tempted from the words of his own disciples. I must go into the city. There I'll be taken and I'll suffer. And Peter said, suffer it not to be so, Lord. And he said, Satan, get behind me. You savor not the things of God. His own disciples, we didn't believe him. I suffered in the garden. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry here. Watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed what we quoted. Oh, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou. Suffered. The temptations was a suffering. And now, having gone through what you and I go through, he is able to succor, to comfort, to be a comfort to them that are tempted. No temptation that you've ever suffered that he didn't suffer. He was in all points. You think, well, surely he didn't go through it. Yes, he did. All points. Made like unto his brethren. Merciful, faithful high priest. Experienced the temptations of our nature. Willing and able to comfort. Do you want to know who sits right now at the right hand of God? Sits. I that's a pleasant word. He sits. Why? It's finished. It's done. He sits. When he stands again, he's going to receive all that he's everlastingly loved unto himself. Call them to himself. Father, I will that those that you've given me, where I am there, they may be also. In a very short time, we're going to behold by sight he of whom we speak tonight only by faith. In that day, we'll behold him who's everlastingly loved us. And I think of that scripture, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. All of these glorious things that we've talked about.
Think about all the things, Brother Scott, you've ever read all these years concerning the Scriptures. Think, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. How many times have you heard the gospel? You think this is a glorious gospel. You ain't heard nothing yet. All of the things that we've contemplated. I was going over that just a few minutes ago. I just mulled over in my mind. Got to thinking about it took on him the seed of Abraham. And I got to thinking about that. Neither hath entered into the heart of man those things that God has prepared for them that love him. Oh, in that day, that glorious day, we shall behold him who is altogether lovely. For Christ's sake, may the Lord bless these words to our heart. Amen. Gary.